Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast. Today is May 14th, 2021. The Coconuts Podcast is your home for top trending news and pop culture from all across Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. I'm Summer Lee.
And I'm Vim Shanmugam.
Hello, Vim Shanmugam.
We have returned.
Yes, we have. How was your time away?
It was good. Just to let our listeners know, we have zero journalistic credibility now that Nurul is not part of a podcast. JK.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And like the brain cell count has absolutely diminished. It's now at zero with Nurul gone. Let's be real.
We're all just talk. Assalamat Hari Raya to all our friends around the region. I couldn't do, you know, what they do with the fasting. That's insane. Like maybe food you could possibly like survive without like during the course of the day, but water, no drinks. That is true commitment.
Hats off to y'all. I'm so excited to go to everybody's houses. Just kidding, we can't.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just one dinding dude.
Yeah, that's one thing. The food is amazing. That's the that's the best part. Yeah. And the cookies. Yeah, it's so unfortunate that here in Singapore, we have a semi-lockdown, I guess. Like a semi return to phase two, which means that you can only have 5 guests in your home, which is, yeah, I don't even have 5 friends, so that's fine.
But how do you choose like the 5 that are allowed, you know, with like family and friends? So it's just goddamn it, no friends then.
It's like your MySpace top 5.
I think I'm the generation I'm not in it. The one that uses MySpace.
Friendster top 5. I wonder if those are even around. Like I feel like we should bring them back somehow. It's like everything retro's back, right? Does that work for social media?
Exactly. And didn't somebody like find Kim Kardashian's MySpace and it was just like all decked out in pink and glitter and it was just like, it's me, Kim, and like Princess Kim and shit like that. It was beautiful.
Is her top 5 like Paris and Nicole,
right?
All these other people.
Mm-hmm. Advertise with our in-house agency, Grove. Fast, funny, digital. Join forces with us to slay buzzwords, rise above the noise, and sow the seeds of something great. Get in touch via coconuts.co/grove. In our top stories for the week, we start off in Yangon, where Thailand has to decide the fates of 3 Myanmar journalists who fled persecution. So yeah, Thai authorities are saying that they will seek a humanitarian solution after a number of Myanmar journalists and activists were arrested for crossing into the kingdom illegally. So the Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson Tani Sangrat announced that they were over the case amid concern that detainees would face reprisal were they to be deported back into Myanmar. The group of 5, which included 3 correspondents for Democratic Voice of Burma, or DVB, was taken into custody in Chiang Mai province, and Thai authorities concerned are coordinating to find humanitarian solutions to the recent case of journalists from Myanmar, says Tani in a tweet, because Twitter is where it's at nowadays, where you get news. Yep. But yeah, Ai Chan Niang, the news outlet's executive director, told reporters that he was trying to secure the release of the 3 journalists. And he said that they had gone to Thailand to continue their work after the broadcaster's license was revoked by the junta. And a number of its reporters have been arrested since this license was revoked in March. Human Rights Watch and the Committee to Protect Journalists are among those calling on Thailand to safeguard the detainees.
But basically people don't want them to be sent back and grant them like asylum in Thailand. Some people.
Okay, journalists like are freaking getting silenced everywhere, and this just reading about it is kind of freaking harrowing. Like their day job is just to report the news and they're being silenced. What now?
Yeah.
Fuck.
And now to the point where like there might be bodily harm potentially. So like I think, yeah, that's why they're trying to hopefully like keep them safe. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But at least they haven't taken any violent or provocative actions yet. Well, you know, I feel like every time we talk about Bali, it's either about them like extending their COVID protocols because people have been behaving badly, or it's just influencers behaving badly in general. And in this case, a Canadian man was deported from Bali because he was being disrespectful, quote unquote, because he was holding a tantric orgasm event. So not just a tantric orgasm session, but an event, like a full-on event. So a Canadian national had a tantric full-body orgasm session event planned where he invited people via Eventbrite and actually charged participants 20 euros, which is about like 24 USD. The event page said that it would be an intensive sexual education to teach them about orgasmic awakening and where their brain would focus on coming and not just your body. And that you would enjoy orgasms on a deep level, which is obviously like that alone meant that like, yeah, immigration authorities were like, this is not happening, not on our watch. And basically found out that this dude was not even like a certified yoga instructor, because I guess like the tantric orgasm was part of like a yoga session. And he, I guess, told people it was like a yoga event. And yeah, the government basically just said that he was violating a 2011 immigration law, which meant that like they, foreigners or anyone who visited Bali couldn't cause a disturbance to public order or disrespect local customs and traditions. So the dude was put on the blacklist and is now headed back to Canada, where he might enjoy his orgasmic event by himself.
Oh my God. There's so many things to unpack here. He's not even a certified yoga instructor. Man's just said, like, I'm the expert at giving people orgasms, like, and they're not regular either, but, like, it comes with a price. My God!
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, people are just, like, all, like, a little horny, eh? By
in lockdown.
Because of COVID, yeah.
Well, but that's just it. Yeah, but that's just it. Like, in a freaking event with, like, all of these people where I'm assuming that it's touching. So, like, what are your, you know, what's your cleaning? What does the cleanup look like? Oh, no, actually, I don't want to know.
Oh, yeah, no. Scratch it. Yeah, it's like,
yeah, additional... What are your sanitation protocols, you know?
Oh, my gosh, so gross. Like, additional sanitizer.
Yeah, man, like, every hour.
Ew.
One dude walks in like with a piece of cloth and Dettol, and he just goes on every surface. Yeah.
Worst job.
I know, right? My God.
In a time where bodily fluids should not be excreted in public.
Hell no, not anywhere. Do it by yourself and at home. Now this guy gets to do it in Canada. Good job.
Oh dear.
Oh Lord. And over in Singapore. Ridiculous ass shit, let me just tell you. The police are investigating an alleged racist attack on a woman walking in Choa Chu Kang. Sister, like...
Oh, man.
Oh. Yeah, so the incident is being investigated for a possible racial motive, said the police to Coconut Singapore. So this was brought to light over the weekend by the woman's daughter. She said that her mother, a 55-year-old Hindocha Nita Vinushbai, was on brisk walking from Choa Chu Kang MRT station to the nearby stadium where she works when an unidentified man confronted her for not wearing her mask properly. He hurled insults and racial slurs and then kicked her to the ground. What the hell? Right, so the person who's only identified by the handle Parvi on Instagram says that to anyone who says racism doesn't exist in Singapore and that we should be thankful we aren't in countries where minorities are in physical danger, read this. This post was actually kind of, it was circulating, it was doing the rounds on the internet before being being removed. So I guess it's because they're investigating the thing. And the daughter has not responded to online queries for comment.
Yep.
So I think the law was that, you know, you kind of have to wear a face mask at all times, unless you are doing strenuous exercises. So examples that were given, quite funny by the way, is that, you know, if you're brisk walking or going up hilly terrain, you can take your mask off, but you have to put it back on after you're done exercising.
Yeah. I think, like, largely, like, if you're doing some form of strenuous activity, or if you're just, like, working out outside, like, walking, like, pretty quickly, or, like, you know, jogging, like, you know, people are pretty, they kind of know that you're kind of working out. I've seen tons of people that, you know, just, they're just walking, but, you know, it's, like, walking to cool down or, like, warm up, quote, unquote, like, after, like, a workout. Some of them probably are not even doing that, but you know, you kind of get away with it because there's no one around them, and you know, whatever. But yeah, this is obviously just an asshole being a huge douchebag trying to, yeah, basically intimidate someone that had nothing to do with his life.
Like, what do you mean? Like, if somebody's not wearing their mask properly or whatever, like, you can try this thing where you kind of just ask them, you know, that shit's free, and you kind of don't have to kick a person to the ground in the chest either. Like, if you don't do that, it's free.
Yeah, like, just politely ask. Like, I think most people would be like, you know, like, I have seen people that you know, weren't wearing their masks properly. And, you know, I've always said, like, hey, it's a public area, they're kids and stuff. And they would do it. They wouldn't even, like, blame, because they know, you know, like, it's the rules. Like, everyone, no one else wants to wear a stupid mask as well. But we kind of need to do it, you know? And, like, I'm sure this auntie would have been, like, if you had asked her, like, she'd been like, oh, explain why she was not wearing it properly, or like would have just worn it and just walked off. Most people would just like worn a mask and just like walked off, because, you know, largely the people are don't want any conflict, but there's just people who are just, you know, using this as an excuse to cause bigger problems.
Exactly. Are you bored indoors? You want to go outside and play the police? The fuck? I mean, like, even if you're not wearing your mask properly, you do get a $300 fine, so there's no need for this, like, vigilante corporal punishment, sir. Please sit down and shut the hell up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, like, you know, this is just coming in the vein of, like, a few kind of racially driven incidents that we've had over the last few weeks. Obviously, the most famous being Hua Chong Auntie. So, it's so bad that that's how much she's gonna be called now from now on. Like, Hua Chong's probably like, what the fuck did we do? Like, a poor Hua Chong auntie.
Yeah, man. Or the damage control.
Well, not poor Hua Chong auntie, but like Hua Chong. Yeah. Anyway. So in Hong Kong, a man was arrested because he was using a water gun to threaten staff at a money lending shop. Armed with these like water guns, kind of like, they're not even like the super soaker types, they're just a little squirt guns. a dude called Lo and his partner broke into a Sheng Shui, a branch of Promise, which is a prominent like money lending firm in Hong Kong, and they demanded about like $25.7 million from the money lending firm with the water guns. And basically, when the staff said no, they just left and kind of went outside and decided where they wanted to go, because it's so random. And then after thinking about why it wasn't working, or like their plan B, they ran back in, this time with like a pen, and like threatened them again. And basically, if I was like the staff person, I'd be like, dude, no, like, this is not gonna work. like none of your weapons are scary.
You're telling me that this is not an SNL skit. What do you mean? Like, the water gun didn't work. He came back with a pen. Oh my god.
Or like a prank. I feel like that's how they should have, you know, that's the story they should have given. You know, the cops came and arrested them, and no one's hurt, thankfully. But yeah, they should have just like went with the story. It's like, no, it's all a prank. Do you think it would be so stupid to like use a water gun and like a pen? Like, to, you know, like that should be there, like, you know, like your defense if they end up.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, Lo, the main dude, was arrested, but his friend like ran off. So he's still at large, probably with his water gun.
Mm-hmm. Damn, where'd the pen go?
So people in Hong Kong, be careful. If you see someone with a water gun and a pen,
run.
Immediately report them.
And over in Jakarta, President Jokowi is under fire for promoting Kalimantan roast pork dish for Lebaran.
Uh-oh.
I mean, as we know, right, you know, Indonesia has a Muslim majority. So the dish of roast pork is kind of off limits to them. But yeah, in a recorded statement published on the Trade Ministry's official YouTube channel, Jokowi urged citizens of the country to stay put and observe the government's Mudik Eid homecoming ban, which is in effect from May 6th to 17th. And the president then said that if people crave their hometown's traditional dishes during the Lebaran Eid holiday, they can always order them online. Then he went on to list them, and he said those, he went to list all of them, and they include like jackfruit stew, milk fish, steamed fish dumplings, savory fish cakes, and roast pork. Oh, it's a giant oof, because it's like, you know, you're talking about the Muslim holiday and you've went and said roast pork in it. Yeah, it doesn't bode well for the dude. Many Muslims were very outraged by his statement, as they see that it was made in the context of an Islamic holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, timing, dude. Read the room. What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. Could have said anything else. But of course, everyone on the internet got real angry, understandably so. Some people defended Jacoby in the name of religious tolerance.
Well, I guess. I mean, is he like talking about like, you know, the minority like in Indonesia? I mean, there are obviously like a lot of like non-Muslims there as well. But I think like the context during like, you know, Ramadan to bring that out is a little spotty, to say the least.
Absolutely. And this dude, right, trying to do damage control, oof. Like, it's hard not to see it as a blunder, right? But there were kind of mixed messages from the government as it attempted to contain the controversy, if you will. Mm. And yeah, Trade Minister Muhammad Lutfi, for one, he apologized for the statement, but urged people to interpret it with wider context. While the presidential spokesman said Jacoby actually meant to promote a similar sounding Kalimantan rice dish named Bipang. Okay then.
What?
Do y'all want to talk to each other and then come up with a statement, or? Yeah. But yeah, but I think it's all funny and shit, because like, if there's any winner from this controversy, it's the Bipang sellers who are reporting massive windfalls off of Jacoby's like inadvertent advertisement for the dish. So yay, free promo.
They're like, sure, we'll go with that.
Love it.
So over in KL, hunters have come forward with stories of sexual harassment in schools. This is part of the hashtag Save the Schools MY movement. A feature story. This is also a feature story on coconuts.co, covered by our editor, Eugene. So please have a more in-depth read. But I guess this all started a month ago, April, where a lady by the name of Putri Narema Belkis created this Instagram page, and I guess like by proxy a movement, where she started like calling out different incidents in school where teachers were like telling rape jokes. There was potential menstruation spot checks, which really, you know, garnered like a huge round of people supporting her, and all these horror stories started like popping up, and she started posting about them, and now she has almost about 200 over like stories where girls and young women have been coming up and saying that, you know, they've been sexually harassed. Their teachers have been telling like rape and sexual jokes, and you know, as young as like kids in primary school, where, you know, kids were well, I shouldn't say kids, little boys were not told off when they made, you know, sexual sounds and jokes, and where all these little girls and women were forced to sort of just laugh things off and keep quiet about them. So this Instagram page has kind of, you know, blown up, and more people are super pissed off. There are more activists joining the cause. And they're just lending their voice, and this all also, like, you know, is part of just a long line of like really creepy, shitty behavior from, you know, people in sort of power. You know, stories of grooming. There have been, you know, things like people calling out rape jokes and then being threatened by, you know, being threatened to get raped. You know, like, there's just like really shitty things that were happening for the last few months and years. And now, you know, like, it's being brought to light.
It's so freaking gross, dude.
Yeah, it is. You know, like, one of the posters actually said that that she would get like flying kisses and, you know, be called a lover by their like religious teacher. And also, like, you know, they would like give him a little cheek. They would give him a little kiss in the cheek. And you know, just, yeah, it's like, and call him like baby, and yeah. Yeah, it's all this like, it's also like creepy and weird, and you know, like these are like young girls and women who are in, who are supposed to be in safe areas, and they obviously weren't, and this hashtag is about getting them, you know, support, and obviously like getting all these like creepos out of the system.
Freaking pedophiles, honestly, like in school. So it means that, you know, these are children, they're freaking children, and you're sexually attracted to or are okay with harassing children. Go on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like, you know, the most common posts are surrounding teachers just making inappropriate jokes and making, you know, like just throwaway comments about sexuality. And this is the part where, you know, obviously being a Muslim country, like a lot of it's very, you know, I guess like traditional and you know, conservative, and it just makes it, you just can't talk about like things like this. And I think that's a double whammy, you know, like something shitty happens but you can't talk about it because no one wants to talk about it. It's not like a commonplace to talk about it, so the pressures are even greater, I feel.
And our next story, it comes from Bangkok. So no quarantine entry to Thailand via Phuket starts in July for the vaccinated. Wow. Okay, interesting. But yeah, it looks like they're really going ahead with this freaking thing. Because I think this has been like months in the making, I would think. I think there are plans to vaccinate locals and make it open to the vaccinated. And it's like maybe the first province in Thailand to do this. Yep, I guess everyone knows, while the universal 14-day quarantine on arrival was reimposed amid the churning third wave outbreak, Phuket will be the first to open the country to vaccinated travelers in July, with 0 days of trapped in a room isolation needed. And yeah, while hopes, I was like, but wait, do we celebrate or not? I'm not sure, because they do have a third wave in like Thailand, dude. So
yeah, that is true.
Yeah, that is true. As much as like every Singaporean alive wants to, is dying to get into Thailand, damn, should we? Yeah. There has been a kind of slow rate of vaccination as well. But yeah, so the rollout of vaccinations in Thailand has been kind of slow, but Phuket is still going ahead with plans to stage a tourism comeback by becoming a vaccination model by reaching herd immunity. So the government aims to provide nearly 1 million doses to Phuket by June to conduct the mass vaccinations necessary to achieve its so-called sandbox model on schedule, according to the Tourism and Sports Minister. So about 22% of Phuket residents, that's like, what, 104,000 of 466,000 people, have been jabbed at least once with the Chinese-made Sinovac vaccine so far. And under the scheme, travelers may leave the island after 7 days to other parts of Thailand. Okay. What?
So they basically just enter Phuket, and then that's like the entry point, and then just go elsewhere from there. But why Phuket, like, and not somewhere else? I guess I can understand why it's not Bangkok, because it they kind of have like a third wave, and it is like a city, so it might be a little bit like different. I don't. Yeah, but I guess like Phuket, maybe it's the same thing. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. So the government wants to inoculate 70% of residents by the end of this year to reach herd immunity. So that is the aim for. So 70% for the end of the year. But we're going to make travel through Phuket possible in July. What?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, I think like this is going to be the case for a lot of countries, right? Like they're going to try. No one's going to be at like fever pitch about getting everyone immune. Potentially Singapore or like smaller countries, we might be more successful. But, you know, for the bigger countries, I think it's just going to be a case where you're going to roll the dice when you go. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, man. Watching you, Singaporeans.
In our top story, we go to Manila, where a Pampanga priest is accused of having an affair with a married woman. To tell us more, our associate editor, Rachel, based in Manila, will tell us all the hot tea, all the hot tea. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hi, hello. Hi, guys. Hey. Okay, so
what is happening?
Yes, so about the story, right? This priest became viral last week because there was this video that went around social media on Facebook primarily, showing the priest being confronted by the husband of this married woman. So this man accused the priest of having an affair with his wife. And during the confrontation, which happened in the social hall, because so churches in the Philippines, they have this social hall where people gather and, you know, have like parties and stuff. So he confronted him in the social hall, and the man reminded the priest about one of the Ten Commandments, which you should not covet your neighbor's wife. And then the man also brought along the family picture, the family portrait of their family, and slammed it, destroyed it in front of the priest. Yeah, so all of this, this drama was captured on video. Aside from the man, his son, one of his children was there, and the wife was actually also there. The wife was quiet all throughout the confrontation. And, well, the priest, meanwhile, kept saying sorry to the man in the video.
Naniwala kami sa'yo. Salamat sa mga turo mo. Ito.
Bigyan mo ang proof yun.
Oo nga eh. Salamat, among.
Huwag ka trust me.
Salamat, salamat.
Trust mo siya pa. Wala ang pamilya na ba.
Salamat, salamat, salamat.
But, of course, of you know, getting placated, the man became even more emotional because he was just really mad at the priest. And this man also kind of like, sorry, the son of this man kind of threatened the priest that he might get sued for having an affair with his mother because, you know, the mother is married. So yeah, so according to some people, of course, these are all just reports. The person responsible for spreading the video, allegedly, is the son of the man. So, yeah. So
the video is like the video that went viral, like
the video that went viral on social media. Mm-hmm. Apparently, allegedly, the son of the man was the one responsible for spreading the video. Some people have identified the name of the priest, but the Archbishop of Pampanga is appealing to everyone to keep the names, the identities of everyone involved secret. And the priest has been removed from his parish because of what happened. And he has been told that he can no longer hold masses in public. So more or less, you can say that the priest has been suspended from his work. So
have they found out whether it's true? Like whether or is he like on leave? Can you be on leave as a priest?
But like, yeah, I guess you can say that he's on leave while he's being investigated over these accusations. Nothing is confirmed yet whether he really had an affair with the married woman. But
and how severe is this? Like, I mean, as in, because priests, I'm kind of stupid about all this stuff. So I'm assuming that priests have, like, they're celibate, right? They can't have any relations with anyone. And he kind of obviously potentially broke the law, or I guess like Catholic law. So what does that mean? Like, what is the severity of the situation for him?
For now, so he's suspended. I'm not sure what the appropriate punishment would be if the church finds this priest guilty of having an affair. But from what I understand, of the Catholic Church, they could like excommunicate the priest. Like they could like remove him from the church. So yeah, because priests are supposed to be celibate. But, you know, I think I know some people will say that I might be generalizing, but reports of priests having affairs with married women is not new in the Philippines. It's been happening for quite a while.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I guess with social media, it's only now that this thing has become viral. Because in the past, these are just like, you know, rumors among the town people that never get confirmed. But now we have social media. So these things, they spread like wildfire and they become national issues. But even in small towns, this happens quite often. And the priests who get involved, they can get away with it because the Vatican or the seat of power, which is located in Manila, they never hear about these priests having affair with women or with married Filipinas. So this is really new. Yeah. So there. It happens all the time here.
Oh God. I'm not sure. Like if it's so common, it's common was my first thought. But at the same time, like if it is so common and thanks to social media, it has been so widespread, what do we do about it?
I'm not sure like how the local churches can do something about it right now, but they can just investigate it, you know. It happens all the time. It's not actually one of the most important novels in Philippine literature, Noli Me Tangere. One of the stories there is about this Spanish friar who had an affair with a married woman. So even back in the 18th century, when the Philippines was occupied by Spain, you have like these friars and priests having affairs with married folks.
Oh, wow.
So this is really nothing new.
Oh shit. So it's just this guy's luck that, you know, he was doing this in the age of TikTok and smartphones.
Yes, and YouTube. So if you look for it's actually fairly easy. If you go to YouTube and type Pampanga priest, you could see the video.
Oh no.
Yes. Several people have copied the video and spread it all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Well.
So there.
Scandals keep on coming.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rachel, for spilling the tea, giving us some little info on that. Well, let's hope there are no more scandals, no more pre-scandals, but I feel like that's gonna be a tall order.
Yeah. Great. Thank you guys.
Bye. Thanks, Rachel.
All right, bye.
Well, that was quite funny. I mean, it's funny that like it's not a unique thing.
Mm-hmm. It's an inside joke, you're telling me.
Oh no. Well, let's hope the priest didn't do it. I guess, or even if he did do it, let's hope like the family like recovers and he learns his commandments, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all from us this week. Till next week. Bye.
Bye. Gra.
Boom. Done. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support Coconuts and our weird and wondrous stories, you can become a Coco Plus member at coconuts.co/membership, make a patron payment at coconuts.co/patron, or buy our fresh merch at the Coconut Shop at shop.coconuts.co. Subscribe to the podcast and leave reviews. Tell us how you feel and what you like and don't like. We're excited to hear from you.
The Coconuts Podcast delivers impactful, weird, and wondrous reporting by our journalists on the ground in 8 cities. Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong, Manila, Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur, Yangon, and Bali. Listen to headline news and insightful interviews on matters large and small, designed for people located in or curious about Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. The Coconuts Podcast is a Coconuts Media production. Our hosts are Summer Lee and Vim Shamugam. Our executive producer is Byron Perry. Our production manager is Clarissa Cortez, and our editor is Raina Lim.